Wilmington, North Carolina, under the leadership of Dr. Dre Bland. She provides oversight over spiritual formation to young adults and mid-level supervision of staff and ministry volunteers while balancing her first love, the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Please welcome for the first time at St. Sabina for the sixth word, Reverend Raquel Gill.
Consecrate us to thine service, God, by the power of thy grace divine. Let our souls look up with the steadfast hope. Let our wills be lost in yours. God, we thank you for the ways in which you have spoken to your people tonight, God. And we pray that you would continue to show up in this place, God. Know that whatever you decide to do this evening, it's all right with me. Let your strength be made perfect, even in my weakness tonight. These and all of the blessings we ask in your Son's name. And let the sons and daughters of God declare amen, amen, and amen to the staff of this amazing church, to such a legendary leader, the person of Father Michael Flager, to this amazing, amazing, amazing roster, many of those that I have learned from throughout the years. I am just overwhelmed at what God can do. I grew up, and I say this all the time, not far from a turkey farm in a town of about 2,000 people. So as I stand before you today, I'm a witness that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. I'm praising God for this moment right now. The sixth word comes from the book of John, the 19th chapter. 29th verse reads as such. And a jar full of sour wine was nearby. So the soldiers soaked a sponge in it, placed it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. And when he had received the sour wine, Jesus said, "It is completed. It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his life. I want to talk for a few moments from the thought, a fantastic finish. Here we are in the last stretch of crucifixion. Jesus has asked for forgiveness for his accusers. He has promised paradise to the one hanging with him. He has taken care of his mother. He has had a one-way conversation with his Savior. He has acknowledged his humanity and weakness. And now, in the sixth saying from the cross, Jesus declares a word of commendation. Jesus announces, "It is finished." And out of all the sayings from the cross, this one feels the most vague. It feels the most ambiguous. Many in the Christian tradition have gone back and forth as to what Jesus was finishing and why he had to finish it now. And I think that in and of itself could be a lesson today. The responsibility to finish is not a one-size-fits-all, as we are all at different places on our journey and at different spaces in our lives. We're not dealing with the same issues, fighting the same battles, and working with the same resources. Therefore, saying it is finished will look different based on what we are encountering. And I hope that this becomes more clear as we journey through this word together. But no matter where you are or who you are, Jesus offers some lessons on how to deal with the transitions of life. The first lesson that he offers to us tonight is that as you contemplate your finish, always remember where you started. Why is it necessary for Jesus to publicly state that it is finished? It seems almost like boasting, but it couldn't have been that, because nobody under the cross knew what he was talking about. And even today, in our modern configurations of this text, we make it only about great accomplishments and great achievements. We make it about what it means to finish the book you wanted to write and to finish the degree you wanted to have and to complete the necessary steps to accomplish whatever goal you have set out to do in life. And while I would encourage any of us to not only write the vision, but finish the vision that we have made for our lives, yet I could not help but hear Jesus whispering, "Raquel, to know why I had to announce it is finished, you need to go back to the agony I had when it started. In order to make sense of my finish, you need to first go back and look at my beginning." We know that as Jesus stood at the Mount of Olives, he withdrew from his disciples. He knelt down and he prayed, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will must be done." In other words, Jesus was asking God to get him out of this situation. Jesus was saying, "God, deliver me from this." Jesus was saying, "God, I don't want to go through this." But even after Jesus admitted his agony, he still acknowledged God's will. This lets us know that Jesus saying it is finished was not Jesus completing something on his bucket list. Jesus saying it is finished was not a culmination of his 5-year career plan. Jesus saying it is finished was not Jesus completing some long-term goal or fulfilling some major desire. Even when Jesus knew that he was on a divine assignment, the cross was never something Jesus wanted to experience. The cross was never something that Jesus wanted to endure. Crucifixion was never something that Jesus wanted to confront, but yet it was something he had to go through. So it is finished was an announcement that I survived the very thing I prayed to escape. It is finished is an announcement that I made it through a time that I didn't even want to see coming. And beloved, I've learned that it's easy to finish what you ask God for. It's joyful to finish what you were ready to do. It's delightful to finish what you wanted to complete. But on this cross, Jesus shows us that sometimes you have to finish what you didn't even want to start. Sometimes you have to complete what you didn't even want to confront. Sometimes you find yourself going through the very thing you tried to pray away. And there might be some of us in here today who are in the same predicament as Jesus. We find ourselves having to complete what we didn't even want to start. We're having to endure what we didn't even want to enter. We find ourselves having to go through the same thing we asked God to take away. If you find yourself saying, "God, I didn't ask for this. God, I never wanted to go through this. God, I never envisioned this for my life. And I've never saw this happening." The beauty of the sixth word is that there is a God who will grant you the grace to finish what you never even wanted to start. The beauty of the sixth word is that there is a God who will get you from the agony of prayer to the announcement of your survival. The beauty of the sixth word is that there is a God who can help you complete what you never wanted to confront. There is a God who will get you through it even when you're struggled with the fact that you had to deal with it. It is finished was an announcement that I survived it. Sometimes to make sense of your finish, you must remember the pain of when you started. Sometimes in order to acknowledge your end, you must remember how agonizing things were in the beginning. Sometimes to see your courage when it's over, you must remember your fear when it began. Because when you contextualize your finish, when you look back at where you started, then you will see just how far God has brought you from. Some of us have had to finish chemo sessions and had to survive major surgeries and had to survive incarceration and had to endure nasty divorces and had to live through things that we never wanted to get through. And sometimes when it gets difficult to celebrate your finish, you need to remind yourself how hard it was when you started long ago. I can't give up now because I've come too far from where I started from. Remember why you began. But secondly, don't let others dictate your finish. What kept bothering me as I studied and I studied is, why did he say it is finished after he had received sour wine? If Jesus knew that everything was completed after he said, "Woman, behold thy son," Then why would he wait until after he received the sour wine to say it is finished? Some suggest that it was Jesus alluding to Psalm 69, and the sour wine was given to him in an act of hostility to increase his suffering. Since wine in the Psalter was considered a drink of poison, then Jesus being offered soured wine was an act of torture. Yet by the time we arrive to this site of crucifixion, sour wine is known in Greece and Rome as a drink called Pascha. Pascha was a popular drink among peasants in Rome, made by mixing sour wine with water. They would take the reused wine that spoiled in storage and use it as a medicinal mixture. The sour wine drink was used by Roman soldiers to help them endure the long hours of crucifixion. They would drink Pascha so their bodies wouldn't give out, so they could stand for just a little while longer. It would be no surprise that sour wine was near an execution site, because it would be used to revive the soldiers so that they could continue the work of death. Pushing this point even further, Father Raymond Brown suggested that it could be possible that the soldiers offered Jesus sour wine, that not to torture him, but to revive him in the moment so he wouldn't die too soon. They could have offered him the sour wine as a way to keep him going so they could keep him hanging. And this perplexed me, because how in the world can the same people assigned to kill him ultimately be the very ones trying to keep him alive momentarily? How can the same people assigned to watch him die be offering him something that would keep him hanging on in his torture? Why would they offer him something to refresh him? Why would they offer him something to revive him? And it dawned on me that it could be that the soldiers gave him sour wine to keep him on the cross so that he could die not when it was finished, but when they were finished. Maybe they wanted to null his pain momentarily so that they continue to inflict his pain ultimately. Maybe they were trying to keep him alive so they could continue to kill him a little longer. They wanted him to let go, but they wanted to dictate when he did it. They wanted him to give up the ghost when they were tired of him. So they gave him something to keep him going so they could continue to inflict their pain. They gave him something to null the pain so that they could continue to abuse him. They gave him something to keep him alive on the cross so they wouldn't have to take him down from the cross. And I know that's a dark way to look at people. I know that's a blight conclusion to come to, and I know that this is not relevant for everybody, but some of us know what it is to have people soothe you while they hurt you. Somebody here may know what it feels like to have people pacify your pain so that you will never make the decision to come out of your pain. Sometimes people will merely give you something to keep you hanging on in the pain, but will never use their energy to help you heal from the pain. Sometimes people will try to appease you so that they can continue to oppress you. And sometimes we drink sour wine. Sour wine. Statements like, girl, get up, you got this. Sour wine. Statements like, keep it moving and keep it pushing, when we can clearly see that it's time to stop. Sour wine are theologies that try to rationalize all human suffering and make you believe that everything you go through is making you better and making you stronger. Sour wine are politicians who show up to say hey on Easter Sunday but refuse to use those same hands to change policies on Monday. Sour wine are police officers having barbecues and cookouts in the neighborhood. Meanwhile, they're still shooting us for reaching for our cell phones. They can grill us a hot dog, but they won't change the system that allows them to shoot us senselessly in our own front yards. You know, sour wine is when people try to soothe you momentarily so that they can continue to put you in the abuse. But yet, even after receiving the sour wine, Jesus said, it is finished anyway. Even after receiving what was designed to keep him hanging on, Jesus chose to let go anyway. Even after taking in what was used to keep him going, Jesus chose to give up the ghost anyway. And we cannot forget that while the cross was a divine mission, it was also a site of abuse, torture, and violence. It was a toxic space that was killing his body and destroying his spirit. The suffering did just not come out of the cosmos or out of thin air, but there were people assigned to kill him, and there were people assigned to watch him die. There was a system of abuse that destroyed his body. And for Jesus saying it is finished after receiving the sour wine was not only a declaration of victory, but it was an act of liberation. It was Jesus making a decision to stop when the forces designed to kill him were pushing him to keep going. Saying it is finished indicated a fulfillment of his mission, but it also denotes a decision to walk away. It was an act of agency against a system that was designed to destroy him. The sixth word is about him hanging on the cross, but it is also about him knowing when it was time to let the cross go. Jesus refused to let the soldiers decide when his time on the cross was completed. He didn't remain in that place just to prove to them that he was strong enough to keep on hanging. When it was finished was between him and God. It was a divine declaration that he made without human permission. He didn't wait for other people to be ready. He didn't wait for other people to understand it. He didn't wait for other people to be okay with it. But when he knew in his spirit that it was time to make a transition, he said it is finished, and he transitioned on. Even when he knew that it would agitate those who sought to control him, he did it anyway. As he gave God back his spirit, he gave the Roman Empire back their cross. Jesus would not let the soldiers dictate his finish. He would not let the people who meant him no good negotiate the conditions of his life. And not only did his declaration upset his agitators, but it also disappointed his disciples. In the moment when he gave up the ghost, those who loved him went from the agony of watching him die to the grief of realizing that he was dead. He would not give in to appeasing his abusers, and he would not give in to the guilt of disappointing his followers, because Jesus knew that he would come back to them better if he had the courage to leave them right now. Jesus said it is finished when everybody around him was saying no, not yet. Jesus said it is finished when everything around him pushed him to keep hanging on. And hear me clearly, I'm almost done. I'm not telling anybody to just go and die. I want you to stay alive for as long as God sustains you. I'm not asking anybody to go and accept death, but I am encouraging somebody to let go and live. As I seek to love God's people, as especially as I minister to black women, one of the things that I've been convicted of is the way we can sometimes encourage people to just keep staying on crosses and to remain in spaces that are toxic to their souls, deadly to their bodies, and draining to their spirits. We keep telling people to just stay there and stick it out, even when we can see it's about to take them out. We keep serving them sour wine to help them get through the abuse instead of letting them know that God has called them out of the abuse. We keep trying to teach them how to negotiate the pain instead of helping them to create a new life beyond the pain. And if we can celebrate the courage to endure, if we can celebrate the courage to survive, then we must celebrate the courage to let go. For some of us, it is finished means God will give you the grace to get through it. But for some of us, it is finished means God will give you the courage to let it go. Some of us are in a place right now where although we're finding temporary relief, it does not change the fact that we're barely hanging on in a death-dealing space. Some of us have people who are serving us sour wine to keep us going in the pain instead of helping us heal from the pain. Some of us are in relationships where we're being offered trinkets to make up for the fact that we're being physically, emotionally, and mentally severely abused. Some of us are working jobs where even when we find moments of refreshing, we ultimately know that it is time to let go and time to transition on. Some of us are lifting our hands in places that are killing our spirits, and people are telling us to hang on when we know in our hearts that it's time to step away. People are telling us to keep it pushing when we know it's time to switch directions. We're staying on crosses and living in pain because we're trying to prove to other people that we're strong, and we're trying to convince ourselves that we can make it. But by saying it is finished, Jesus teaches us that you don't have to give in to the pressure of staying in a toxic place. Sometimes saying it is finished means instead of finding the strength to keep hanging on, you find the strength to set yourself free. And in order to make this declaration, you can't let other people determine when you say it. When you finish is between you and God. When a season is complete is between you and God. Everybody will not understand it. Sometimes everybody may not like it. Everybody may not accept it. But at some point you have to make a decision that I can't keep accepting good graces in toxic spaces. I can't keep seeking relief to stay in this when God has called me to move beyond this. And sometimes you must say to the people you love that I can't keep sparing your feelings while I risk my well-being. But sometimes I have to risk disappointing you in order to heal me. And if you're here today and you're feeling stuck in a disaster zone, caught up in a cycle of abuse, trapped in a toxic place, let me tell you that just because you received what they gave you doesn't mean you gotta tolerate how they abuse you. Just because you received the sour wine does not mean that you have to keep hanging on in the trauma. Just because you had a moment of refreshing does not mean that you have to remain in a place that hurts your soul. I don't care how long you were there. Sometimes the most courageous thing you can do is have the courage to say it is finished when people are telling you no, not yet. Sometimes the most courageous thing you can do is find the strength to let it go when people are pushing you to hang on just a little while longer. Sometimes it is finished. It's just another way of telling the forces that seek to oppress you and mistreat you that their time is up. Sometimes it is finished. It's simply another way of saying enough is enough. And if nobody has ever told you, baby, let me tell you, when something is killing you and destroying your sense of well-being, you are not a failure if you leave. You are not weak if you let go. You are not incompetent if you step away. You are not unlovable if you walk away. You are not less than because you had the courage to say time is up. You must have the faith to believe that even when you want to keep going, God will keep you if you gotta let it go. You must have the faith to believe that even when they want you to keep hanging on, God will sustain you when you turn it over. You must have the faith to believe that even when you're finished with it, that God is never finished with you. You don't have to stay in it just to prove you can survive it. And black people, it's time for us to say enough is enough. When it's draining your energy, killing your spirit, hurting your body, demeaning your character, enough is enough. Toxic relationships, enough is enough. Abusive love, enough is enough. Dead end situations, enough is enough. Hurtful theology, enough is enough. Draining my energy, enough is enough. Taking my hope, enough is enough. Killing my joy, enough is enough. Killing our people, enough is enough. My time in this toxic space is over. But lastly, and I'm done, you don't let people dictate when you finish, but you also don't let people dictate how you finish. Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This moment on the cross was not only an announcement of survival or an act of resistance, but it was a declaration of victory. Jesus was announcing to the powers and systems of this world that despite the pain of the present, I must fulfill a divine mission. And some of us are here today, and we're struggling not with letting go of what God doesn't want for us, but we can't find the strength to do what God is calling us to do. Some of us are saying, "How can I proclaim victory when my life looks like such defeat? How can I make it to the finish line? How can I complete some things that God has called me to? How can I finish what God has commissioned me to do? How can I fulfill what God has done for my life when my body is so tired, my spirit is so weary, and my resources are so limited? Rev, I don't struggle with where to finish. I don't struggle with when to finish, but I don't even know how I'm gonna finish. I feel like I don't have what I need to get where God is calling me." Well, the sixth word is an encouragement to you too, that you can have a fantastic finish even when you feel like you're in bad shape. I must admit that although in this moment it was victory, Jesus looked like the picture of defeat. Here his body hangs in excruciating pain for 6 hours. His lungs are giving in and about to collapse. And even after he says it is finished, he bows his head and turns over his life. He does not raise up from the cross. He does not exert a high level of physical prowess. He does not exercise what seems to be great power. Jesus does not look triumphant. Jesus does not look victorious. Jesus does not look like a conqueror. Jesus does not look like a champion. Yet, regardless of what it looks like, he proclaims the victory anyway. Regardless of what it feels like, he determines to finish anyway. He didn't wait until everything had been figured out. He didn't wait until he showed up in his resurrected body. But right when it looks like he's about to lose it all, he chooses to announce his finish. Jesus proves that you can claim the victory even when you look like the picture of defeat. Jesus shows that it doesn't matter how you finish, as long as you finish. Don't get discouraged, because victory for you may not look like victory for somebody else. And I wondered how I could make this text live. And I remember back in college reading a headline as I was in the school library, and it said, "A fantastic finish." And so I opened it up and I began to read it. And they talked about a young high school student named Holland Reynolds. Holland Reynolds played for a high school in San Francisco. She was their star runner. And at that point, they were going to the state championship meet. And this meet was especially important because their coach had just been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And this would probably be his last season coaching. And here we see Holland. She is about to start. And she starts off so strong. She starts off so mighty. But somewhere around the 2.5 mile mark, her legs begin to give out. Holland is dehydrated. Holland is about to give up. And finally, a few feet and a few meters away from the finish line, Holland completely collapses on the pavement. And a hush fell over the stadium. Everybody is wondering, what is she going to do now? Her coach said, "Well, it looks like it's over for us. Let's meet Holland at the ambulance." But all of a sudden, one of the officials came up to the side and he said, "Are you okay? And do you want to finish?" And Holland begins to nod. And the coach says, "Well, I can't tell you how to finish, but what I will say is if you can't use your legs, you still got your arms." And all of a sudden, you start seeing this young girl pick up her elbows and crawl her way to the finish line. Everybody's going past her, but she keeps crawling. It takes her almost 2 minutes, but she keeps crawling. And finally, as she makes it to the finish, she collapses in her coach's arms and she wins the state meet for her team. And Diane Reynolds called it a fantastic finish. And maybe somebody here today feels like giving up. Maybe somebody here today feels like throwing in the towel. Maybe somebody feels like collapsing on the pavement. Can I serve as your sideline coach and ask you, are you okay? And do you want to finish? Well, if you want to finish,
I can't tell you how, but baby, use what you got. When your legs give out, sometimes you gotta crawl your way to the finish line. God will keep you. God will sustain you, and God will meet you on the other side, because the race is not given to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong, but to she that crawls her way to the end. Keep crawling, and you will finish.
Look at somebody and tell them,